From the majestic slopes of Mount Hood to the bustling streets of the Rose City, this is PDX Progressive Talk Radio. Broadcasting live from the heart of Portland, we're the voice of the city that cherishes diversity, loves nature, and stands up for what's right. We're your number one source for in-depth analysis, thought-provoking discussions, and fresh perspectives on the issues that matter most to you. Whether it's climate change, social justice, local politics, or sustainable living, we tackle it all with an open mind and a progressive heart. We're not just a radio show. We're a community. We're a conversation. We're the pulse of Portland and the sound of progress. So grab whatever it is that gets you comfortable. Tune in, and let's get this dialogue started. This is PDX Progressive Talk Radio, and together, we can shape a better tomorrow. Good evening, Portland. If you are listening live, it is Wednesday, January 24th, 2024, and boy, do we have some things to talk about. I would be talking about what's happening in Portland, except for what's been happening on the national stage makes what's happening in Portland seem dull, right? Although it's not. We have tons of things happening in Portland. We have, you know, we have a Portland City Council race that's getting hot and heavy. If you are on Instagram or TikTok, Facebook, you are seeing all of the awesome candidates out doing their thing, out in the community, out talking to people, talking about the small donor election programs. So that is something I will be talking about more later as we get further into pushing forward with campaign finance reform. As you know, IP9, well, it's Petition 9, is the campaign finance reform petition out on the streets right now to keep corporations from controlling our elections, keep corporations out of our pockets by totally prohibiting any contributions to politicians at any level. So that's just one advantage to Petition 9. Well, it will be Initiative 9 when the petition is qualified. We need, or they need, honest elections. I'm sort of affiliated with Honest Elections, but they need 180,000 signatures. Just so you know. So if you see people out gathering signatures, make sure it's for Petition 9. There is another one out there, and we'll talk about that later. Right now, I want to talk about what's happening in the 2024 election, the nomination for the Republican Party. I'm baffled. I am truly baffled. If you saw me at Progressive PDX Progressive Talk Radio on Facebook or TikTok or Twitter, I announced that I was going to be talking about this tonight. The presumptive. So last night in New Hampshire, this is about Trump, obviously. Last night in New Hampshire, Trump won the New Hampshire Republican part of the New Hampshire primary election by a few points over Nikki Haley. Some people are saying, oh, he won by a huge margin. It probably close to 10, but the numbers that I've been seeing are a little closer in than 10. More like 9. I think she may have made a single digit approach to his win. What I don't get is he won 14% of the Republican vote in Iowa. Only 110,000 Republicans caucused in Iowa. he won 50% of that 110%, which was only a percentage of the 780,000 Republican voters in Iowa. So that basically the math brought it down to where he only won 14% of the entire Republican electorate in Iowa. And to me, that doesn't seem like a lot of support. I could just be me. In a similar situation, though, there were far more voters who came out in New Hampshire, 380,000 something, and he won 51% of that, 54.93% of that electorate in the Republican Party in New Hampshire. So that's still, you know, how much support is that, right? So it's 150,000-170,000 off the top of my head. I'm not a mathematician. I'm a marketing person and a radio person. So what I want to know, getting down to the foundation of my question, is so in Oregon, in the last gubernatorial election, we had a candidate running on campaign finance reform, and he would not take over $1,000 from any given contributor, any given donor, because he was running the foundation of his campaign was campaign finance reform. And here in Portland, campaign finance reform was implemented a couple, like in 2016, I think it was 2016 or 2018. So that's a lot of the provisions that the people are campaigning under in Portland have to live under these regulations. There was a kerfluffle during the last gubernatorial early primaries where one of the local broadcast stations was going to have a debate. And in order to qualify for that debate, you had to garner support in dollars and people to meet the eligibility to enter that debate, right? So you needed to have 250 contributors have donated $250,000 to your campaign. And I'm just off the top of my head, I don't remember the specifics. But that was the median for your eligibility to be in the primary. Granted, you did not have to be in a participate in a primary to participate in the election. I think that's wrong. And because that this is what we're running into with Trump. He has a record that he does not want to justify because he can't. So he has avoided all of the primary or all of the debates. And I think that's unfair because the other candidates have worked very hard going out into their districts, going out and talking to their supporters, going out and saying, I will do this for you. I am the person that you can count on to ensure that your agenda is being met, even though we know it's garbage because they're going to fall over for the corporations who run this country. We know it's all garbage, but the fact is they're making the attempt to get out there and talk to the people in their districts, and they have to come up with their policy plans, they have to come up with their agenda, and they have to meet the people, and they have to go out and shake hands and kiss babies and blah, 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 and they have to do the primaries. Why is Trump not having to be in the primary? Why is he not made ineligible? Forget the 14th Amendment in Section 3. Yes, that's a valid argument, and we need to have him taken off the federal ballot for that reason. In every state ballot should take him off because he did and is being investigated for insurrection. He's the one that drove everybody to do that. That's another discussion. I want to know why, at the federal level, he is eligible to be on the ballot. Why? He has not contributed to any of the discussion. He has not given the voters an educated awareness of who he is and what he's done, and he has not been forced to justify his record. He has not been made to stand in front of the public, the United States public, and justify what he did during the 4 years that he trashed this country. I want to know why he is still eligible when he has proven zero, like minimal support. People in the Republican Party are falling off of support from him in droves, and I just do not understand. So I am opening up this phone line because I want to know, excuse the squeak, I need to move the mic. 503-231-8187. Again, that's 503-231-8187. Please call me. I have an intelligent audience. We do. At PDX Progressive Talk Radio, we have an intelligent audience. They are informed. They know the laws. They understand way more about this election and politics stuff than I do. I sit in for Moses when Moses is off doing what he does. But I'm learning. I'm getting involved. I'm part of the Clackamas Democratic Party now, and I'm working on being a neighborhood leader, and I'm getting involved, and I'm getting my feet wet. So I have an intelligent audience. We do. Moses and I have an intelligent audience, and I want to know why you believe he should, one, either remain on the federal ballot, why we should impose his authoritarian views on the rest of the nation. Why should he be on the federal ballot when he had, or on each state ballot, when he has not offered his quote unquote population, you know, the American people, an informed awareness of who and he is and what he has done so they can make an educated decision? Why he should be able to be on that ballot. And I want someone else to tell me why we can't have him taken off the ballot for those same reasons. Take away the Amendment 14, Section 3 of Amendment 14, though that is valid. And there are many states using that, and we should all be lobbying the Supreme Court. We really should all be lobbying the Supreme Court to make the right decision in that case. However, in case they don't, because it is a conservative majority, we still have the issue of him being on the ballot at all. After not justifying himself and how he treated the White House and us when he was in office, and he has not offered us any reason whatsoever to even vote for him. Yes? One moment.
I just wanted to say hello. I'm sorry to interrupt. I didn't realize you were on the air. I will see you later, though. Hi.
We'll have to talk.
All right, we'll talk soon.
We'll talk. Community radio. It's live. It's live community radio. Well, that was interesting. You need to call me. I have questions. I need answers. Because I don't know what they are. In the meantime, I want to play for you. In the meantime, I want to play for you his victory speech, and maybe you can tell me why this is okay. Why would you vote for him after hearing this? Hold on, one moment. Let me pull that up. The guy that was
go
in
into
here,
the fold and turn website layout
is a board op that might be helping me out. Let me see if I can get this for you. For whatever reason, we are not on again. Oh, the sound is up.
Well, I want to thank everybody. This is a
it's on.
Fantastic
the sound is up.
State.
Okay, I may have to find
this
that
is
another
a great,
place.
Great state.
It doesn't seem to want to be working on that one. Let's see if I can't use the Google machine to YouTube on this. Who do you want to win the mayoral race in Portland? Do you think Rene Gonzalez is a good choice? Or do you like Mangus Maps? Who's your choice to win the mayoral race in Portland? Again, this phone number is 503-231-8187. As far as I know, the phone works. Let's see. We're going to look up Trump's victory speech in New Hampshire. You got to hear this if you haven't. And I found it pretty deplorable, but yeah, that's me. For anybody who hasn't figured this out yet, I'm like lean left. So PDX Progressive, one more moment, and I will try to make sure we have not an ad that we have to deal with.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Whoa.
For whatever reason, this stuff doesn't really work for me. USA! Why is the YouTube not working? All right, then. I am
going to
try to
figure out why. Well, I want to thank everybody. This is a fantastic state. This is a great, great state. You know, we won New Hampshire three times now. Three.
Copy the inputs. Welcome to Community Radio. So somebody needs to call me and tell me why Trump should be on the ballot, why we should not fight to have him taken off the ballot. That would be wonderful. Yes. Oh, okay. Let's try this one more time. They said it was on. I cannot hear it. Okay. This is not working. I am going to put on a piece of music here real quick, and we will try to work this out. It's apparently not wanting to work for me. So you're going to call in and you can tell me why Trump should be on the ballot in 2024 and why we shouldn't have him kicked off. Let's go to... I'm going to try a different YouTube video and see if it's just that YouTube isn't playing on here or how this is all working out, because I can't seem to get the sound to come off of the Air Room computer. All right, let's do this. And if you haven't heard lately, the people who are Trump supporters, they are getting their information off of Telegram. I've heard more than one say they're getting their information off of Telegram. And I'm disturbed by that. Very disturbed by that. I'm going to play this for a couple of minutes and try to figure out what's happening with my other thing.
Well, I want to thank everybody. This is a fantastic state. This is a great, great state. You know, we won New Hampshire three times now. Three. And we win it every time. We win the primary. We win the generals. We've won it. And it's a very, very special place to me. It's very important. If you remember in 2016, we came here and we needed that win. And we won by 21 points. And it was great. And today, I have to tell you, it was very interesting because I said, wow, what a great victory. But then somebody ran up to the stage all dressed up nicely when it was at 7. But now I just walked up and it's at 14. But she ran up when it was 7. And, you know, we have to do what's good for our party. And she was up and I said, wow, she's doing like a speech like she won. She didn't win. She lost. And, you know, last week we had a little bit of a problem. And if you remember, Ron was very upset because she ran up and she pretended she won Iowa. And I looked around. I said, didn't she come in third? Yeah, she came in third. And then I looked at the poll. She was talking about most winnability, who's going to win. And I had one put up. I don't know if you see it, but I have one put up. We've won almost every single poll in the last 3 months against Crooked Joe Biden. Almost every poll. And she doesn't win those polls. And she doesn't win those. This is not your typical victory speech, but let's not have somebody take a victory when she had a very bad night. She had a very bad night.
A couple quick fact checks here. The former president said that he's won every single New Hampshire election he's been in, which is not true, including general elections. He also said Nikki Haley doesn't beat Joe Biden in the polls. That is also not true. Nikki Haley has beaten the president in several polls. I want to go to Tara right now. Tara, you know, Vic was just talking about the ugly side of politics. We were having a conversation talking about the viciousness and how bad it'll get. When will it start? The former president took the stage and he pretty much the only thing he talked about was Nikki Haley, attacking her over and over again. And I got to tell you, what stood out to me is Senator Tim Scott in the background, an elected senator from the state of South Carolina who was appointed by Nikki Haley, sort of just smiling and going along with this. Is this what we can expect over the next month before South Carolina?
Absolutely. And I mean, South Carolina has been an ugly place for politics and Republican politics before Donald Trump. So imagine what's going to happen between now and then. The fact that Senator Tim Scott was there and just perfectly okay with the viciousness, again, speaks to the lack of character that Senator Scott has demonstrated during this time of Donald Trump. And it's very disappointing. He was asked very directly whether he was comfortable with Donald Trump's tone, and he couldn't. He made excuses for it, including Donald Trump saying that January 6th prisoners who were convicted are hostages. He was okay with that, too. So I'm not surprised that Senator Scott continues to debase himself. And for Vivek Ramaswamy to say anything about that, this is a guy who went after Nikki Haley's teenage daughter. So he has continued to lower the bar here when it comes to any type of integrity as well. So, but this is par for the course. Yeah. This is what the Trump campaign represents, and this is what we are up against going into the general election. It's never going to change, and anyone who thinks otherwise is it's living in a fantasy here. This is what it is. Yeah.
Thanks for watching. Stay up.
Okay, you guys, so you heard what was happening. Finally, we're working out the quirks in here for sure. There is another, do you know that President Biden met with the UAE union today in Delaware? And the speech that he gave was phenomenal. So I am going to look up, since this one I finally got to work, speech at the UAW. I'm sorry, not UAE, UAW. I have to type it out so I remember it. And so if I can get that up here, I'll be so happy. So the whole thing was, I'm not going to make you listen to the entire thing. I am going to set up some of it because I was so impressed with this speech. It's not even funny. You'll be impressed as well.
Hello, UAW! It's great to be home. One of the best unions in the world. You look out for one another. The whole country benefits from what you do. You know, please take a seat if you have one. You're tough as they come, starting with your president, Sean Fain, a leader with backbone, a backbone like a ramrod. I don't know where he is, but he is. Together, we're proving what I've always believed. Wall Street didn't build America, the middle class built America, and unions built the middle class. That's a fact. Look, I kept my commitment to be the most pro-union president ever. I'm proud you have my back. Let me just say I'm honored to have your back and you have mine. That's the deal. It comes down to seeing the world the same way. It's not complicated. You know, my dad, who never went to college, was the smartest, toughest, most gracious man I knew, who managed a car dealership for the bulk of my life, taught me a very important lesson. He'd say, Joey, this is God's truth. A job is about a lot more than a paycheck. It's about decency. It's about your dignity. It's about your place in the community. It's about being able to look your kid in the eye and say, honey, it's going to be okay and mean it. And mean it. Folks, that's what the UAW is all about, and it's always been that way. Just after the UAW was founded nearly 90 years ago, it launched what historians call the most important strike in the 20th century. Flint, 1936. Walter Reuther organized a sit-down in the factory. They weren't sure what would happen. They were worried about getting beat up, but they were determined. They were determined. And it took 44 days, but they won the first collective bargaining victory in American history. And the leadership of the UAW spread across the country. It led to the first substantial wage increase in a long time, the first cost of living allowance, the first employer-provided health care. Within 4 years, workers across the entire auto industry unionized, inspiring workers across other industries as well, giving life to new industries in the labor movement. I share that history with you because all of you made history again. I'm confident, and I mean this, 90 years from now, people are going to look back on the impact you had, you in this room. Just like them 90 years ago, you matter now. You lead. And I respect all of you here today. You represent unions that always led, always lifted, and always inspired workers. The UAW legacy from Walter Reuther to Sean Fain today, Sean, you took a lot of heat, but you demonstrated extraordinary leadership. You did. And that's what I saw a few months ago during your historic UAW strike. The time, this time, in Belleville, Michigan. And I'll say I was so damn proud to stand in that picket line with you. Yeah. It's not the first UAW picket line I stood in my home state of Delaware. I've done it many times. But it's the first time a president did it, I found out later. I've always fought for a strong auto industry, with UAW-built cars leading the world. This is about a simple proposition. You built these iconic companies. You built GM. You built these companies. You sacrificed to save them in the worst of times. And you deserve to benefit when these companies thrive. As Sean said, record profits mean record contracts. I'm serious. And that's what you got, record wage increases, winning back cost of living adjustments, greater retirement security, more paid leave, and eliminating tears. Whoa, 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 whoa. You all know my position. I'm tired. I've tried, you know, I'm tired about jobs going overseas, having products shipped to. Look, during the Trump administration, a lot of administration before that, what'd they do? So many people around America lost their sense of pride because whether it was an automobile company or any company at all, if that factory that was there for 30 years, hiring, maybe it only had 150 people in it, but it was a part of the community. Guess what? Corporate America found the cheapest labor in the world, and they sent the jobs to those laborers and sent the product back to us. But not anymore. We're building product here and shipping it overseas. Buy America and build America. I mean it. And what's really important, you made sure the auto future of the world will be made in America. Well, I mean it. You know, I'm going to digress this a second. Most people don't know that back in the...
I want to share the rest of this speech with you. I really do. But I found out why nobody was able to call, because the phone was off. I usually make sure the phone's off when I leave, but it's rare that the phone would be off when I get here. I'm going to have to make sure and check that from now on. I do have a caller, so yay. Hello, I didn't catch your name.
I'm David.
And I am going to have to, apparently it's in the phone. Hello, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
David.
Hi, David. So you were there. Hi. So what question did you want to have an answer for me about?
Oh, I thought you were asking the question, why should Trump be allowed to run again?
Yes. Oh, well, no. Well, no. The question is, why should he be eligible to be on the ballot if he does not want to offer the American people an educated choice?
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Oh, no, don't be sorry.
An educated choice on what exactly?
An educated choice as to why they should vote for him.
Oh, why they should vote for him?
Yeah.
Well, I think he's given the American people, those that want to vote for him, plenty of reasons and... Right? Hello?
He's given them plenty of reasons to vote for him. How?
Well, he's given, he's hugely popular amongst half of this country. And that's because of his policy, for example, for this debacle of open border there that's happening right now.
Just so you know, Obama actually deported more illegal immigrants than Trump did. And border has always had fluctuations of mass people coming, and then it lowers, and then more people come, and then the numbers decrease again. And do you know why people are trying to come here?
I didn't call to talk about the immigration issue. We can talk about that if you'd like, but it's a whole other issue.
How did he resolve the issue on the border?
Well, he gave American people, okay, the half that wants Trump to be the next president, which is a strong half, and in a democracy, they should be able to be heard and have their voice.
They should, by all means. Yeah. But I think I would argue that 14% of the entire Republican vote in Iowa is not a showing of half of the nation supporting him.
Okay. Well, the support is, I don't know the exact percentages, but it's pretty darn strong, you know.
So that brings up another question. Why is a civilian, not even an office holder, directing the Republicans in the House and Congress
to do his bidding. Why? Why are we allowing that as American citizens? He's not, he doesn't even hold an office. He's just some guy on the street walking. If you're walking down the street, right, and you call Michael Johnson and say, I want you to close those borders now, are you even, one, going to get through to him? And two, isn't, what do you expect him to do? Why is it okay for Trump to be Joe Blow walking down the street doing this and not you?
I don't see how he's doing any of that, really. But
did I lose you?
Okay. No, I'm here.
I think I got disconnected. I can't hear you.
Oh, you can't hear me?
There you go. Okay. Hello.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, community radio.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. But so as far as that goes, I'm not sure. I just think that I just wanted to, I'd like to let other listeners talk about this a little bit.
Thank you, David. I think that's an awesome idea, and thank you for your call.
Well, I appreciate you. Thank you. Have a good evening.
You too. Caller on, whoops. Looks like the caller on line two hung up. I think David might have taken too much time. All right, so anybody else have an answer as to why Trump should be in on the federal ballot? Now that the phones work, and I have to figure out why we have some things going on in this station. We have gremlins tonight. It's crazy. Anyway, so I would have loved to share the rest of the Biden speech with you, but I shut it off. How many of you, or why do you believe, here's my questions. Why should Trump, candidate Trump, be on the ballot again? And with not allowing us to know who he is and justify his record. Hold on one moment. Okay, I have another caller, and we will be on in one moment. Hello, can I get your name?
Yes, hi, I'm Tangent.
I'm sorry?
Tangent.
Tangent?
Yeah, I'm not white.
That's okay.
I always put other on the census forms.
So okay. What is other? What
other
makes you other?
Just, I would not be put in a box called white, this, that, or any other thing.
Okay. That's awesome.
I'm not like a white wall, okay? I have some color to me. All right. So here we go. I don't want to get into that. First of all, I want to, because sometimes humor helps a lot. So I think most Americans believe in free speech.
Mm-hmm.
I know better because I've been punished for writing poetry that didn't resound well with different organizations in this government. But I think Trump believes in free specious.
He does?
Specious.
Free when speeches.
Speciously, yes. It's like, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. But, okay, and I heard this quote. It comes on free speech TV or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, I love the poorly educated.
Yeah, yeah,
and look how he put so much emotion into. You know, I think this guy took clown or mime lessons before he even ran for president. He's like, all these facial movements, you know. So let's see. Where can we go with this?
I want to know, do you...
I've been waiting to do... What?
Okay, so my questions were,
yes,
why do you feel that he should be eligible to be on the federal ballot when he won't participate in a debate? He won't offer the U.S. population an educated choice?
can't any district attorney general of the United States put this guy in prison?
Right?
It's pathetic.
I know. And Pete, there are, and David was correct. There are, you know, unfortunately, tens of thousands, at least it's not hundreds of thousands anymore, but there are tens of thousands of people that are following this person. And yes. I don't get, I watch YouTube videos quite often from Young Turks. Yeah. And they go around interviewing Trump supporters, and I'm just, they get their news from Telegram and mostly or Facebook, and I'm just flabbergasted with the lack of curiosity.
I share one thing. Okay, when Roe v. Wade was turned over, I don't know why like hundreds of thousands of women are just besieging the Supreme Court. Because, look, anytime they want to say something, it takes them 10 months or more years to make a decision. What you, I, any number of folk could do with a reasonable amount of time.
Right.
But we have been taught to believe these guys are, you know, the ultimate this and that.
Right.
Okay, so anyway, I want to leave you with a quote because there's a guy called Santiago, and Robbie called in. I'm not usually in the late. I didn't know you had late night. Not late night, but I usually call him in the morning. But anyway, French Rousseau, I can't remember his first name, said, man will never be free and in peace until the last king is hung by the innards of the last priest.
That's, wow. Can you give me some idea?
They actually used to carve people's innards out, and they thought by the way that a priest could detect, by the way this guy's, after they killed him, his guts would move. If you open up, I'm seriously sick.
Okay.
But it would move, and they thought they could predict the future. I'm serious.
Oh, my goodness.
Twisted. All right.
Tangent, thank you.
Priest, appreciate it.
Take care.
And don't ever say goodbye. Just let's start saying peace more often.
Peace, please. Yeah.
Peace. All right.
Peace out.
You got it. And in. And don't forget that in-between part is so important.
Thank you, sir. Oh, boy. This is what makes radio. This is what makes radio fabulous. People... Okay, so for those who, we have a really educated audience, so you know this. Free speech is not allowing you to say whatever you want, wherever you want, whenever you want. Freedom of speech is the ability to criticize our elected officials and not get put in jail, not get killed, not get, you know, at this, put up the stake or whatever. Freedom of speech is our ability, because we don't live in somewhere like Russia or Saudi Arabia or wherever they don't have it, our ability to communicate our displeasure with our elected officials without retribution. That is what free speech is. It is not being able to, there's a video I saw today of this lawyer, and he rattles off a bunch of cases in Texas telling the city council, the mayor in the city council, I didn't get the name of it, that his client was having his free speech degraded because he was not allowed to say every profane thing in the book to the mayor in within the city council infrastructure. While if it's written literally or read literally, that may be true. However, there is something called decorum. And we, the human beings on the planet, also have rights. We have rights not to subject ourselves to that type of vernacular, that type of language. And we can set those boundaries, and especially in the city government environment, the city does have the right. You aren't being arrested. You aren't being put in jail. The city has rules. We need rules. We cannot have complete anarchy. And there have been studies recently that have shown, in fact, I heard of one recently where a bunch of people went to a deserted island by themselves. They were going to have no rules, no laws, and it was just complete chaos. So they actually ended up starting to build a committee and build out laws for the people on the island, because, you know, when you get right down to it, humans are animals, and when left to their own devices, they're gonna just do whatever. And Trump actually brought out a lot of that, and that even makes it more scary. He allowed people to be racist. He allowed people to be horrible human beings. I have never, and I've grown up in some pretty, I've lived all over the country, and I lived in some really, I mean, Pomona. I lived in Pomona, and if you don't know where Pomona is, in Southern California, it's over by LA, and it's not a very good, at the time when I was growing up, it wasn't a very good area to live in. And then up in right now in upper Southeast Portland, I've lived there. I've lived in Northeast Portland, North Portland. I've lived in areas all over the country that could not be the most savory. I have seen things, right? I've seen things. I've been, most of my adult life, I've lived with at the poverty line or below it. I've seen things, and I have never, ever, ever seen humans in America act the way they acted during the Trump administration and what we're trying to quell right now. Heathens, just simply heathens. And it's disgusting. And I want, as a Portlander, well, technically I live in Clackamas County, as somebody who lives in Oregon and believes in Oregon and our government in Oregon, I want a civilized society, a place where we treat each other with humanity, compassion, and concern. I want the homeless people to have housing today. I want the kids that are living on the streets and hungry to be fed. I want corporations that don't pay taxes, that now pay less in taxes than I do, to start paying up, pay your way. We support you in your community. The people that go to the public schools and that you are supposed to support so you can have smart employees who understand your technologies when they graduate. We support your communities. We support your business. You need to start supporting your communities again. Our schools are failing. Look at the Portland Public School District. And Clackamas isn't much better. Oregon actually ranks rather low in all over the state. I remember being in some arguments at one point during Kate Brown's administration. We were literally in the high 40s, like, or low 40s, like 48, 47. And she brought our graduation rates up 12 points. And that was fabulous. But that still leaves us in the mid-30s. Come on, people. Mississippi, Alabama, Oklahoma, all of those places are in the lower end of the education sphere. Why do we want to be there? We don't. We need to demand that these corporations that are raking in multi-billion dollars in profit pay their fair share. We support them. They should support us. And I guess hold on, I got another call. Hello, caller. Can Hi. I get your name?
Yeah, it's Tangent again.
Hi, Tangent. I'm on a tangent. You got me going.
Oh, excellent. Literally on. Lit on. Not going off on all the time. Okay, so I can go off and come back on. I just wanted to bring up that Portland PGE just raised.
Yeah, I know.
That my wife listens to Fox News, but it's really interesting to hear all the garbage. First of all, whenever something's recalled, they say throw it away immediately. They used to say take it back to your retailer for a full refund, okay? But here we go. So the electric rates just went up 20% for all residential customers.
Right.
That says that all corporate customers didn't pay a dime more. And they already get a reduced rate because, why? They're using so much energy. No. See, we're subsidizing Intel.
Yeah.
Fred Meyers.
Yeah.
All the car dealers, they got to keep all those lights on, you see.
So do you know?
A really fantastic interview. I hope you check it out this morning. Paul Roman, he's not always the most interesting, but he was in the most interesting way. But he was talking about a guy named Ivan Illich, who said, like, the more schooling you get, kind of more the dumber you are. It's just that you go into a certain channel.
That's true,
okay?
To an extent. But yeah.
And I remember my boss, I worked in this little organic fruit market. It wasn't a fruit stand, like, it was a store, okay? And we imported from California organic fruit and went out to JFK. Anyway, he said that J.D. Rockefeller gave a speech in, like, 1895 to a bunch of rich corporate people saying, you have got to give money to, universities and such, because the more educated people are, the more they consume. That was his main
That's
point.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
So, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
So, did you know there was a recent study that found that 70% of people on SNAP work full-time, and they work for McDonald's, Walmart, Amazon, and a plethora of others?
But
yeah. Did you know also in 2013, I lived in Silverdale, Washington, and I was going to the store to, at the time I smoked, so I was going to the store to get a pack of cigarettes. I saw on the window, military EBT accepted here. The U.S. military members, some of them, are eligible for SNAP, and I fell over.
It's all a myth.
That's an insult. That's
it's
a slap
a
in the face. These
Even,
people are giving their lives, and they qualify for SNAP?
Look at the phrases that are used. The social safety net. Are we all on a tight wire?
I've thought about that. That's good. Yeah.
No, and like they call, I won't remember Rumsfeld, the architect of the Iraq War. Architects build things. They don't...
He built war.
Thank you.
Okay, so, I need to cut this off, sir. Tangent, thank you so much.
And stop, I don't want to be called sir, if you don't mind.
Okay. Thank you, Tangent. You can follow us on Facebook.
Lifelong veteran of the peace movement. Yes.
Woo! You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok.
I don't do it.
Oh, you're missing out. Such
no,
good
I'm
news.
Not. No, I'm not.
Thank you, sir. Or Tangent. Have a great day.
I appreciate that.
Okay, you guys, I need to play you some music and let my next show come on, and you'll forgive me. I don't have the name of the show. So here is some Steely Dan. Maybe, if I can get it to play. Okay, it doesn't want to work again. I'll have to see what's happening here, because again, it's not wanting to work. So let's try it this way. And I am going to welcome to Behind the Scenes Radio. We're going to see if we can't get it to work. Yeah, it doesn't want to work. Well, this is not good. Let me see if I can get it. Oh, I think I figured it out. Yay!